Love Talk Radio.
Mahalo, Pathfinder, for our lovely opening song. And today is Thursday, the 11th, June 2015. And the low shoe or flying star number for the day is the number 4. And the number 4 is the red heart love and relationship number. So we have that radiating from the center today to all of the Bagua sectors. And the Bagua is the feng shui compass that we use. It's the 8-sided feng shui compass. And we're learning about each of those 8 sides. And they all have something that they represent in an element and in one of the 12 animals that are around the feng shui compass. And that's the real compass, the north, south, east, west compass. And you're one of those 12 animals, and you're one of those 5 elements. And it's so fun to research that. If you would like a feng shui reading and consultation from Pathfinder and I, please get in touch with Pathfinder at pathfinder@1111@gmail.com. That's pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And please go to our Facebook community page, Aloha Healers Network, and like our page there. And you can also message us there, and we'll be posting current events there every day, so check in. And thank you, blogtalkradio.com, for this airwave. And thank you for joining us. We have such fun with you each Thursday. We really look forward to talking with you. And we're going around the Bagua Feng Shui compass. And we've gone from the north clockwise in the 8 sectors, and we're almost through. So if you're interested in these, you can click back on those shows on Blog Talk Radio. They're in the archives. And also in the archives are the 12 animals. We briefly touched on each of those animals, and they're back there too. We are in the West this week. And in the West, there's one animal, and it is a rooster. Or it can be the phoenix, and that is what is in the animal in the West. Now, in the West also, we have an element, and that is a small metal element. There's a bigger metal element coming up in the Northwest next week, and so next week is the Northwest, and then we will have gone through the Bagua. And heads up, after we have finished that, we're not really done. We're going to go through the 5 elements, and it's really the 4 elements with the earth in the center. And we'll go through those one by one, but that's to look forward to for the future. right now we're in the West, and that also represents the youngest daughter. And so in a feng shui consultation, we would also look at your front door, especially. Now, let's say you were a rooster or your front door was in the West. You would want to pay attention to either enhancing, in feng shui, we either enhance or we cure or balance the elements that have arrived there for the year. And there are 9 flying stars. So if you think about it, remember that Bagua has the 8-sided Bagua, and the one in the middle, that equals 9. So when we talk about the flying stars, there's only 9 of them. They don't just keep going on and twirl and twirl. There's 9 of them. And so, for instance, this year there is a star that we cure on those 5 star on the flying stars, and it's the 5. It wanted to come out there, it's the 5. And how we cure the 5, because it's an earth star, is we put metal with it. And so we can just put metal. We would want to cure the West if we were a rooster, if we had our front door face the West. Or maybe that was our qua lucky number for our financial luck, and we would want to balance and cure that and pay attention to that. So first of all, remember, we clean it. We pay attention to it. We would make sure that even if it's an area that is not really wonderful, like let's say it's a restroom or let's say it's a trash area, I mean, we would still, if we were a rooster, want to make sure that was as tidy as possible and that the wall in front of it had something metal there, something metal that you like. And that's the lovely part of doing the feng shui in your own space, is that you use your own things or things that you're interested in going to go get and bring into your space. It's a real dynamic practice of the flying stars and putting things in a compass direction in your house. And so this year in the West, and not just for the roosters or the phoenix or if that's your front door, but for everybody. And let's say, remember, if you were the youngest daughter, and also what is in the West is your kind of descendant and ancestor luck, and you want to make sure to protect that. And it's kind of a weird thing, but feng shui masters would do something like if there were a couple and they were trying to conceive a child, they would say, well, I want you to look at the West of your home and make sure that's clean and clean that up. And then, and that can really, really, and balance it with whatever annual star flew there for the year. And yes, the stars do fly monthly too, and they fly daily too. So one of those 12 animals is also in charge of each day, which is really fun to find out. And it's also one of the 5 elements. And so to find out those things and work with those things in your own life are really super fun. You would find out, for instance, what colors make you feel stronger just because of the way they vibrate with what you really intrinsically are. And it's fun to find those things out. And it's also fun if you're into decorating or you want to decorate something new and you want to use the feng shui flying stars. And why not? Because all you have to use are images or shapes even, or colors. And so let's talk about metal colors. You can also use metal colors in the West. So you don't want to put metal over there. Well, you don't have to. You can use colors that are metal or images that have metal type things in there. And you would also want to put, since it's sort of your ancestor descendant luck, you could put happy family photos in the West. And woot woot, happy family, hello out there to our wonderful Aloha Healers Network family. And now it's time for the feng shui fitness tip for the West. Also rules a body part. So it is the mouth. And what do we do in the fitness world with our mouth pretty much is eat, like grind, like nutrition, I'm talking. And so the nutrition part of fitness is seriously any professional, personal trainer, nutrition coach, and will tell you, and especially if they have a high end clientele trying to get really fine-tune their bodies, even at the top level, that nutrition matters 80%. So let's think about that. I like that number because it's real easy. 80% of the time, you can eat how you should consider how you should eat if you were feeding you at your nutritional best. And the other 20% of the time is okay to go do whatever you need to do in between that 80% of the time. And that's very doable. And if you're looking for a nutrition program or plan and you really don't have anywhere to start, you could go to bodybuilding.com and check it out. They have a huge article section, and I'm in there with some articles. And they have nutrition programs and plans everywhere from beginning all the way to if you wanted to get ready to get on a professional stage and have people look at your physique. And so, by the way, if you were a rooster, you would be wearing this year to feel more protected and everything. You would be wearing metal or metal colors. And that's how that works in your personal feng shui. It's super fun to get a feng shui consultation. Get in touch with us if you're interested. And we find that we have lovely Reiki brothers and fitness brothers and sisters and artistic brothers and sisters that super love to add feng shui into their lives. Add it into yours today. And next up, we have a wonderful, lovely treat for you. And this is one of my favorite topics because it's into the Reiki category. And I want to introduce our beloved Pathfinder, Mahalo Anui Loa Pathfinder.
Hau mentakia pi nieto chunku oksapi with Chasha. It's good to be with everybody, and thank you, Brenda Kelly. Today's topic is the seven Reiki altars, and it's King Kamehameha De.
Yeah.
I pronounced it right. All right, doing good. So we send a shout out to our brothers and sisters over there in Hawaii. We're continuing our talk about the Medicine Buddha teachings and then how these ways of healing came down to Master Yeshui to create the Yeshui Reiki lineage, which has spread from Japan to many, many places around the world. Before we do that, I'd like to do a little bit of honoring of the Kingdom of Hawaii. Back in the late 1700s, King Kamehameha united the islands of Hawaii under a single lineage, and in the process of doing this, prevented colonial powers from just coming in and taking over like they had other places in Polynesia. And from an anthropology point of view, this saved his people. The reason I say that is because there's extensive study about how the nations going out from Europe basically devastated the cultures of the earth through their own imperialism and greed. And so we give thanks to this uniter of the Kingdom of Hawaii, so that the traditions and these people are strong today. And a shout-out from the Aloha Healers Network to all the indigenous peoples around the world. Know that your special gifts and the gifts that the Creator have given you and the diversity that you are is the richness of the earth. And as the Dalai Lama has said in the past, I think about a decade ago, the greatest treasure and hope of survival of human peoples, and I'm paraphrasing, is the diversity. And if you think even in terms of Darwin and the survival of the fittest, the fittest way to survive is to be able to adapt and to have a diversity to adapt from. So we need to remember this. If we were to limit ourselves to just being one kind of people with one kind of thinking, we're not going to make it. And I don't think that would please the earth either. So I want to just say, put a shout out to the preservation of indigenous cultures and the preservation of indigenous foods, ceremonies, spirituality, dress, and ways of being. Okay, today our other topic are the seven Reiki altars. Now, we really haven't covered the history of the Reiki very thoroughly yet, but basically, there was a time quite a while ago in prehistory, we'll just call it prehistory, because history only goes back maybe 10,000 years, 12,000 years of recording things. And before that time, the ages were recounted through oral tradition. And to tell you the truth, the oral tradition brightened the minds of the people because they would remember exactly the songs, the stories, the histories. And then maybe they would just create a little map for themselves on a cave wall or on, let's say, a buffalo robe or maybe in the medicine wheel type of stones in an arrangement. And this would be their outline for a very great amount of knowledge. So we're reaching back into that prehistoric way. And a long time ago when the spirits of humans were being allowed to come to Earth for the first few times, let's say, we were taking on these bodies that the Creator and the Mother Earth gave us. There were a lot of confusions going on because we were used to being in a spiritual body, and then we began to experience the physical. And in doing so, there were a lot of mistakes made. And because of this, what some cultures called sin, but basically just mistakes having to do with lower base emotions, which, if we remember, is the origin of all sickness. In the medicine Buddha tradition, we seek to heal the aggression, to heal the ignorance, to heal the greed and the other type of base things that are mental and emotional, and in this way cause a permanent healing. And so the medicine Buddha was asked by the Holy Spirit to come down to earth, to go down to earth, and so the medicine Buddha did. And in the process of coming to earth to cause the healing vibration to once again clear up the beauty of the Mother Earth, and then to help the other children of the earth. You know, we have the elementals, and then we have the plants and the trees, we have the animal nations, we have the human nations, and then there are also sacred nations live with our ancestors. And so the medicine Buddha, they say, came down first to Lemuria. And to let you know what Lemuria is, Lemuria used to be a land that connected the islands in the Pacific Ocean. And that land is still there, it's just underwater. And they say that it would connect all the way from Hawaii over to like near Australia. And that was this ancient land mass. And then later, the medicine Buddha set up teachings in an area of Atlantis, which is pretty much where the Bahamas are now, but a very large land as well, off the southeast of what's now the United States, then Turtle Island. And then the medicine Buddha also set up schools over in Egypt to work with the seven sages of that part of the earth. And the entire purpose was to anchor this healing vibration of the Holy Spirit. because the medicine Buddha and the sacred dove, who is wisdom, they are aligned. In fact, that golden color that goes with that indigo, that golden represents the life of the Holy Spirit. So to move forward a little bit, because I haven't even started talking about the altars, in the 1800s, a gentleman named Master Yushui now, a gentleman named Yushui was researching how to bring back physical healing to the people in Japan. And in the process of research, he found an old scroll that described what to do in order to have a personal meeting with the medicine Buddha. And this involved a 21-day fast. And in another episode, we'll go deeper into this. But basically, Master Yushui was initiated directly by the Bodhisattva Great Healing, who is the king of lapis lazuli light, the medicine Buddha. And through the passing of a sacred mantle, the medicine Buddha imbued all of Master Yushui's lineage. And to this day, if somebody is in the Reiki, they carry this same mantle that is a gift directly from the healing ancestors, from the healing powers, from the medicine Buddha, and the Holy Spirit. Now, with this in mind, and realizing that through pure intuition and purity of heart, that even a child can touch the Spirit of God, in fact, they're blessed to do so, the knowledges in the far past that haven't made it to us can reemerge. And there are 7 Reiki altars. The first altar we call the Way of Beaming, as in a ray of light. When the energy of the Reiki and the sacred energies come into our bodies, let's say through the top of our head and down our spine and throughout our nervous system, and are energized in the blood and then also in the cells, we become like a powerhouse for those moments when we're in the meditative contact with this spirit of God that comes in the name of healing. And the process of beaming can happen in several ways. It can happen particularly through the hands, where you work on someone's aura, or it can even be a long-distance healing using the law of, I'm going to say, attraction and magnetism. Right now I'm going to say it like that. Because it turns out that when you pray for someone who is somewhere else, the strength of that prayer actually increases. And so the long-distance healing is definitely part of the Reiki toolkit. The second altar of the Reiki we call the Way of the Hands. And this has to do with the laying on hands and praying. This has to do with different types of body work, which involves the energy meridians, the chakras, the glands, brain, central nervous system, and then how basically the mental and emotional comes to peace in order to settle within someone's body. In other words, an alignment of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual dimensions of humanity. The third altar is the way of self-healing. And this is that a Reiki practitioner has the duty as well as the blessing of meditation within the healing waves of the Reiki to restore themselves. In fact, many people who have chronic conditions that come to me, or even acute conditions, that really need a deep immersion in healing, I will actually train them in the Reiki and encourage them to work with their own healing, and then also to do some service to the community, which then brings back blessing through the laws of karma and dharma. The fourth altar of the Reiki is the way of symbols. And there are seven primary Reiki symbols. There are some that come with the first initiation. There's some that come with the second and third or fourth initiation, depending on how a particular Reiki master works the attunements. But this way of the symbols, like, for instance, the power symbol, Chokure, these symbols are a direct doorway. They are a power cord to the source. They open a door in the etheric to allow the world of the medicine Buddha to pour directly into that space, and thus creating what in shamanism we call a liminal space. That is a sacred space that's neither completely physical or completely spiritual. It is a communion that's going on, and thus allowing the powers of the earth and the powers of the sky and heavens to create a catharsis there with either the meditating Reiki person, or if they're helping somebody with their physical, emotional, or mental health. And so it is the symbols are useful in many, many types of healing, as well as being an actual doorway so that the energy of God that comes in the name of healing can work there directly with you. I'm going to have to accelerate. I'm looking at my time now. There are three more altars with the Reiki, and these are in the more advanced realms. Once you become a Reiki master, or perhaps a master apprentice, the first one is the way of the Antahkarana. And this has to do with connection with the Divine Mother, and then how to work with the crystalline matrix that brings about creation, and to be in contact with the things that are underneath, and then to allow the spirit of the great mystery and the Holy Spirit to fully strengthen a ceremony, a prayer, a healing, or even a reestablishment of health of the earth. Then we have the way of, for now we're going to call it psychic surgery, and that has to do with some advanced techniques where the Reiki master, with the help of the angels and the help of the Reiki ancestors, do intricate realignments with basically your DNA and also with the light pattern that is naturally you. The seventh altar is the way of attunement. And attunement is the ceremony and the process whereby the medicine Buddha and the other brothers and sisters of the golden robe, in combination with a Reiki master, bestow the gift of healing upon another so that they too can train and become healers. And this is a mantle. In other words, it is a lineage of sacred healing, as well as sacred responsibility for the earth, for all of our relatives that live here with us on earth, as well as the great spiritual ancestors. Mahalo, many blessings. We'll go much deeper into the Reiki altars as we go along. And I want to say,
Mahalo, Pathfinder. We're closing Aloha Healers Network today with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I am thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. Today, I do my work. honestly.
Why, I'm here, oh, hey.